Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tough on Art. This is Jen Tough, and I'm super glad you're here. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for listening. And if you're a regular listener, thank you very, very much. I am very grateful for the time that you spend with me with each podcast, and I hope that you're benefiting from it. So today, I'm going to be going over the 10 most common mistakes that artists make. And before we do that, I want to let you guys know that there's two kind of exciting things that you might be interested in. One is that the Artist Alliance exhibitions are now going to be on Artsy. Yay! So literally for about the price of a regular submission fee or entrance fee to a juried show, you are getting that, plus you're getting entrance to juried shows, plus you're getting an entire community, tons of learning resources, live workshops, just a ton of stuff, and the coolest, friendliest, most supportive artist community around. So you can sign up at jentuff.com. You'll see a link for the artist communities, and I hope to see you there sometime. The other thing is that in October 10th, 11th, and 12th, I'm going to be giving a live, oh my God, in-person workshop in Santa Fe. So please join me. You can sign up for that at jentuff.com. Again, you'll see Santa Fe there on the homepage. So I hope one of those things interests you, and I hope to see you either in Santa Fe in October or in the Artist Alliance starting very soon, I hope. And you can take advantage of our new shows on Artsy. So let's get started with the 10 mistakes. The first mistake is an out-of-date website. This is something that's super common. It's one of the most common sort of things that I get from artists. They're like, oh God, don't look at my website right now. It's not up to date. And don't look at this and don't look at that. And oh, I'm so sorry. And blah, blah, blah. You know, the best thing is just, you know, be quiet about it and just let them see. If you have a chance to have a gallerist look at your website, or a curator or whoever that might be, just let them look at it without, you know, kind of giving a bunch of excuses and stuff. It's better to just realize that you need to update your website than sort of pile on a bunch of excuses. That can make it, kind of worse as far as, you know, how you might come off. So, cause they're not going to know it's up to date or not, right? They're not going to know. So definitely keeping a website up to date is, it's a huge task. But if you look at it as sort of never being done, it's something that you have to constantly tweak and finesse and add things and take things away. Look at it. I kind of look at it as a bonsai tree. It's a job that's never done. You have to constantly be pruning it to make it the way you want it to be. And, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity to present yourself to the world in whatever edited way you want. It's better than social media, actually, because you can decide what, you know, your whole entire design looks like. You can decide the way the information architecture is on your website. Like, in other words, like, you know, how a visitor will flow from one place to another. And overall, you can decide how you want to be perceived. You can decide what works you want people to see. You don't have to show everything. You can edit things. As a matter of fact, I always recommend that artists have a very highly edited website and only showing their best work. I also recommend that artists' website, if they have a lot of sort of diverse ideas or mediums that they work in, that they present the work on their website in series format. If you have a lot of work that can, so that can kind of, you know, help simplify things, because the goal is to definitely have a very simple, straightforward website. But again, the most common mistake, the number one mistake, is an out-of-date website. Mistake number two is confusing identification. So you want to think about the other person's point of view. Is it really easy to find you? Is your email address the same as your name? I always recommend that artists use their name for everything, social media, email, website, because it's just too confusing if you use a studio name or you have another name for your art business. It's far too confusing. And it's not that, you know, it's not that people don't want to spend the time, you know, looking at you and finding out more about you. It's not that. It's just that we are all, as human beings now, so inundated with so much information that having just your name, which is what people are going to be looking for at, you know, for visual artists, That is the simplest way to present things. So you want to make things as easy as possible by having the most simple identification across the board online. And that will make it really, really easy to identify you. There's many times when I might, you know, try to be tracking an artist down and I'm using their name and I go into Instagram, for example, and I type their name in the search and I can't find them. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I'm surprised they're not on Instagram. And then it turns out that they have, you know, some other name for their Instagram username instead of their real name. And that just, sometimes it can make it absolutely impossible to find an artist. That's happened to me several times. So don't make it as easy as possible because it's very likely that people could just give up finding you. So if you are running into the problem where you have a more common name or there's other usernames on Instagram, for example, of people that have your same name, just put, you know, John Smith, you know, underscore studio or John Smith art or John Smith artworks or something like that or painting or something like that. So your name is always first and foremost. And then whatever, you know, if you need to add something else to it, you can. But your name should definitely be in your username, your website URL or the address, your email, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and anything else. Now, you know, in this day and age, emailing, you know, your email address should be your name, period. Lots of times I get emails from people who are using their husband's name. They have some other name, you know, bluehorsestudio@gmail.com, and their name isn't attached to it at all. In other words, it won't come up in the from column on my email. And that's really confusing because I don't even know who this person is. So not only could your email be going to spam if you do that, but the person that you're trying to reach, if you don't know them very well and they don't know you very well, could just delete your email without even reading it. So it's really important to make it as simple and straightforward as possible. Save that creativity for your artwork. Don't do that for any of your identification purposes. Email also, you want to make sure that it's not in the from column is showing up with your name as well, because that's where it can also get really confusing. Lots of times I have artists using their husband's email address or their husband's name, and I have no idea who this person is. So that's really confusing. So make it as simple as possible and don't have any confusing identification. Make it super, super easy for someone to find you. The number three most common mistake is not networking enough. I think right now artists are spending too much time, frankly, marketing themselves on Instagram, which that's where artists are spending most of their time for marketing, but they're yielding the worst results as far as marketing goes. They're not getting any tangible results from it. They might even be growing their following. They might be getting lots of likes, but as far as actual tangible results that mean, you know, selling work or developing contacts outside of Instagram or getting a gallery interested in you is really few and far between. And you're really hard pressed to really find any artists who are really benefiting from Instagram today. It used to be different, I think, for artists who were early adopters the first couple of years of Instagram. It was a lot easier to get results, like real tangible results from marketing on there. But right now it just isn't happening. I think artists do need to spend time on Instagram. They need to have a presence on there. But I think posting a couple times a week, three times a week maybe at the most, is fine for artists. I think having a presence on there is really important so people can find you outside of your website and, you know, see your work and get a taste of what you do, but it shouldn't be where you're spending 100% of your marketing time. Where you should be spending more of your marketing time and investing the most amount of time and energy is networking and in-person events and networking. If you're not networking enough with real people in real time, face-to-face if possible, you're not doing the best job at marketing if you're spending all your time on Instagram, which is very common. I ran a survey in the Artist Alliance, and 80% of the artists polled said that they spent the majority of their time on Instagram, but the majority of the artists polled also said that their best results were from in-person events or in-person networking. So instead of, you know, spending all of your marketing efforts at Instagram, which are not yielding good results, try focusing on networking more. And I know that networking really gets kind of a bad rap. You know, people think about schmoozing, or they think about all these sort of kind of yucky transactional type relationships. And that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about just going out into the world and actually meeting people, whether they are in the art world or not. You definitely want to spend time, of course, meeting people who are in the art world or interested in art or gallerists and other artists. That's where you want to sort of spend your energy and focus. But it doesn't mean that you ignore other people, because other people who aren't necessarily in the quote unquote art world are the ones who buy art, right? And the thing is with buying art, especially with artists who are emerging, people don't trust them yet. They don't know if this is a passing fancy. They don't know a lot about art, perhaps. You know, and you want to build that trust. And the best way to build that trust is not on Instagram, as we all know. It is, you don't build trust on Instagram. It's face-to-face or in-person events. So what you want to do is really expand your networking. And you can do that through volunteering at art institutions like museums or art centers in your town. You can do that. You can do stuff online for people if you live in a very small rural area. You know, you can join all sorts of online artist communities or artist sort of circles or critique groups. You definitely just want to expand beyond Instagram, and you want to try to focus on, especially in this time where the world is kind of opening up from COVID, sort of, I guess, I don't know, you know, spend some time really getting to know people face to face, and that's going to be super beneficial to you long term. Everything else is just sort of transient. So focus your energy on networking, because that is the number three mistake, is not networking enough. Okay, the number four mistake, the most common mistake that artists tend to make, is not entering enough juried shows. And I know this can be, not only is it sort of emotionally fraught and can be, it's difficult because, you know, you can get turned down and it makes you not feel like entering more shows. But the thing to keep in mind with these juried shows is that they're really powerful in making connections, I feel. That's part of networking in a way. What we covered with number three is not enough in-person networking. So entering juried shows, if you get in, you definitely get to know the curator or the judge. You get to know other artists who are in that show. You can go to the opening, whether it's virtual or in person, and network with other people. And then, of course, the most important aspect of getting in juried shows is that you can add that to your resume. And the more juried shows that you're in, the more professional and driven you seem as an artist. It lets galleries know that you're not sort of a, you know, a hobbyist. You're not doing this short term. You're very dedicated. The longer that you are applying, the more years you're applying to juried shows, the better. The more juried shows that you're in showing on your resume, the better. It's definitely a benefit for you in many, many ways. The thing to overcome is the fear of rejection, the rejection in general, and the whole process is very daunting and can be really depressing. I understand that. The thing to remember, though, is oftentimes, really, like 90% of the time, it isn't about your artwork if you get rejected. It could be that the juror really needed to fill out the show with all different kinds of medium, and maybe they had already 10 artists who do abstract expressionist painting, for example. And I should note, you know, I've been a juror for a lot of exhibitions, and one of the things that I notice is that abstract expressionist painting tends to be the most common thing that is entered in shows, so you're already going to have really stiff competition. The juror's job is to have a very diverse show that adheres to the theme, right? It's like assembling a symphony and only having all violins. You don't want to do that. You want to have a very well-rounded, diverse group of artwork in the show, because that's assembling a really good show. So if you are an abstract expressionist painter, just know going into it, if that's what you enter into a show, that you're going to have some pretty stiff competition, because that's the most common thing that people enter. Things that are not so common to enter are fiber works, sculpture, political works. Those are things that tend to be a little less common and are going to bump up your chances of getting into that show. And there's also, I did a podcast with Dr. D. Tivenin, who's also a visual artist, And it's all about dealing with rejection. If you want to go back into the podcast episodes, I should have the number in front of me, but I'm not that organized. I'm sorry, but it is in there. It's called Dealing with Rejection. And you can get some really good tips about how to deal with that from a psychotherapist. So let's go on to the next most common mistake. Number five is not having a spreadsheet to keep track of all the galleries that you approach. So as you guys probably know, I do teach a workshop called The Tough Method for Getting Into Galleries. And the first thing that I tell artists to do, which is always like the biggest eye roll, and I totally get it because I really kind of hate it myself. But once you see the power of it, you will embrace it, I bet. And that is making a spreadsheet. And in that spreadsheet, you're going to have the gallery name, for instance. You're going to have the contact person, their website, their email. And then you're going to be able to keep track of those emails that you send to them and what their response was. You're going to be able to keep track of when you should send them something in the mail, for instance. I break this all down in the workshop that I give, including email scripts. I'm not going to be doing that workshop again until August, but if that's something that interests you, stay tuned. But I highly recommend throwing out as many lines into that lake to catch as many fish or galleries as you can. If, you know, in an ideal world, you'd have this really kick-ass spreadsheet and you would be simultaneously approaching 100 or so different galleries. Like, that would be ideal. I know that's very difficult, but that would be ideal. But you can't keep track of all that stuff without having a spreadsheet. And the most important thing that I tell artists is that a lot of times they're not reapproaching. They're kind of giving up if they don't hear back from one email. And, you know, ask yourself, how many emails do you have that slip through the cracks personally, right? How many times do you forget to email somebody back? You might have reminders set and stuff, but, and oftentimes it's not that you don't want to get back to them. You just, you know, you forget, it slips through the cracks. It's just totally normal. Like I said earlier, we're all overwhelmed. We just have so many things, little teeny things that we need to do each day. It's really easy to miss an artist's email if you're a gallerist or curator. It's really easy to do that. And they might even like your work. So not hearing back from them from the first email doesn't mean they're not interested. They're not interested until you hear that no, we're not interested. And even then, I would recommend returning to that gallery in a year, 6 months to a year, with another email, okay? So I have a whole system on how to do this without coming across sort of needy or asking for too much. And that again is in my workshop, and it's too long to go into in just one podcast. But I think having a spreadsheet is crucial for keeping track of galleries, interior designers, curators, et cetera. If you don't have that going, you're not going to know when to go back and revisit with that gallery curator or interior designer. There's no way you can keep track of all that stuff in your head. And the more sort of lines you have out into the lake or the ocean to catch those fish of galleries or curators, interior designers, the better. Because if you have, you know, if you're only approaching three galleries a year, chances are you're probably not going to get into one of them. And especially if you're not, you know, repeat visiting them in a sense. I would say that the vast majority of artists who have approached me over the years to be in the gallery, they'll send one email and then I never hear from them again. So it's really important to know when you sent that last email, what you said, what you're going to do next time, how long you should wait until you reapproach. And there's no way to keep track of all of that unless you have a spreadsheet. So I highly recommend doing that. So a spreadsheet could be in Google Sheets. That's free. Airtable is what I use. I highly recommend them. I love it because it's a really powerful, powerful tool, software tool. It's online. You can do it on your phone. You can do it, you know, on your desktop system. It's always there. It's always, you know, and you can keep track of you can use it as an inventory for your artwork. It's really fantastic. I use Airtable. You can also use, you know, Excel, or you can use Numbers that comes free on Macintosh. So that is another one of the most common mistakes, is artists not using some sort of spreadsheet or database to keep track of their gallery and curator approaches. So let's go on to the next one. Okay, the number six most common mistake is not having a marketing plan for the year. And that might seem like, oh, another eye roll. But the idea of this is that you can really plan out your whole entire year. I personally have like a gigantic wipe on, wipe off board with this calendar that changes for every year, right? But it's huge. I can see every month of the year coming up. And it's really powerful because what I want you guys to do is mark out any live events, open studios, in-person shows, art fairs, things like this. And I want those to be things that you see coming up so you can market for them on Instagram, in your newsletter, on your website, in person. You know, you can tell people about it face to face. You could make a postcard, et cetera, et cetera, without sort of having these things, you know, flagged that are coming up for the entire year. It's really difficult to market for them and really get the most out of those events that you're going to be doing. And then you can also sort of plan your time around, you know, when am I going to be approaching galleries? How much, what am I going to be doing? Am I going to be emailing? When am I going to be, you know, and then also, of course, when are you going to have time to make your art? So having an entire marketing plan sketched out for the year with just at least major events that you should be focusing on and know that you're going to be spending a lot of marketing time on doing and promoting, the better, because that's going to better promote the event that you might be doing, say an art fair, or it's going to better promote open studios that you're going to be doing. And then you can look at your calendar, you know, over the whole entire year and see what you have coming up and know that your studio time is going to be cut back in those times. And it might help as well to not feeling so overwhelmed and sort of lost when it comes to marketing, because that's one of the things that I hear from artists so much is that it's just overwhelming. I don't know what to do. I don't know the steps to do. And having a calendar like that and with a sort of soft, you know, marketing plan in place, just being, hey, here's where I'm going to be spending more time marketing and less time in the studio for just these 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever before an art fair and open studios. And then that really, it really benefits you because it puts you in that mental space of not feeling overwhelmed and knowing what's coming up and knowing that you're going to have less studio time, for example. And then the overwhelm is probably going to lessen. So having a marketing plan as simple as that of just sort of earmarking certain events over the, you know, over the course of a year, that's going to be really helpful. The other thing is that each year, I think you should really try to do at least 2 live events. I'm a big fan of art fairs for artists. And one of the art fair management companies that I always recommend is Redwood Media Group. I think that they do really amazing fairs for artists. They're really friendly and easy to work with, which is really important, especially if you haven't done an art fair before. So check out Redwood Media Group. They're great. They do Art Santa Fe. They have Art San Diego. They have New York show, and they have 2 shows in Miami. So check them out. They're really artist friendly. And I do recommend doing art fairs because even if you really want to get a gallery, galleries go to art fairs. Not only do they attend, but they exhibit. So it's a really great way to get to know gallerists and curators and interior designers, depending on the fair. So those are things that I think you should definitely dedicate yourself to doing at least 1 a year, and then do that same fair repeatedly, because you'll get repeat visitors, and those repeat visitors are going to recognize you, and they're going to develop trust with you, and they're way more likely to buy those expensive works if they see you showing up fair after fair after fair. So definitely recommend having a marketing plan for the entire year, which includes an open studios if possible, and if not, or combined with an art fair. So 7 and the most common mistakes artists tend to make is not having any kind of schedule for themselves or any way of being accountable for the time that they're spending outside of the studio in particular. So everybody in the Artist Alliance knows that one of the things that you get in the Artist Alliance is access to learn my program that I developed called Basic. And I made this during total lockdown back in June 2020. And Basic stands for building, aligning, sharing, integrating, and cultivating. So basically each BASIC, each letter has a color assigned to it. So B, or building a better portfolio, is blue. A, aligning yourself with positive people, is green. S, sharing your work with the world, is yellow. I, integrating this program into your daily practice, is orange, and C, cultivating authority, is pink. So what I, with the basic program teaches people, what it teaches is a way to really simply and visually, which is key for artists, of course, to track your time. And the other benefit of it is knowing where you should be focusing your time on. It really gives you a breakdown of how you should be spending your time to best build your career and grow your career. So most artists don't have any way of tracking their time or scheduling themselves. And what happens is not only can that create overwhelm, but without some kind of accountability, it's really easy to be spending all your time in the studio and just think that, oh, well, I'm spending all this time on marketing, but you're really not, right? Or I've done a ton of shows and I haven't sold one piece. And then you look back on your calendar because, you know, if you don't have any form of accountability, you look back on your calendar and then you can say, oh, well, I really only did 3 shows this year or something. So having this color-coded system allows you to go back a week, a month, a quarter, a year, and then look at all those colored dots. And very quickly you can see like, oh, I've spent every day working on building my portfolio blue. I see all these blue dots and I don't see any green dots anywhere aligning myself with positive people, which helps build your network. And I haven't been doing any of that or very, very little. So I can see right away, I need to spend more of my time doing that because you really need to have an equal balance of all of these things. Now it's kind of a complicated program. I'm sure like listening to it on podcasts, you're like, what the hell is she talking about? But it really is pretty simplified once you read the material and you watch the videos and stuff, which is free in the Artist Alliance. You can watch all of it. It becomes a really simple way to track yourself and track your time, and it offers this incredible amount of accountability. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to do my basic program, of course. I'd love for you to join the Artist Alliance and check it out. But you can also just write down on your calendar, I did some marketing today and this is what I did. Or I did, 2 hours in the studio and I spent, 20 minutes on Instagram. Or, I learned Canva today and that's why, so I'm going to mark that as, I did, 3 days worth of marketing or something. So however you decide to do that, the important takeaway is that you do have some form of accountability and a way to see where you've been spending your time, because that's really, really important. So number 8 is not spending enough time or interacting with galleries, curators, or other arts professionals. Lots of times there's just sort of this belief, and I certainly had this belief when I got out of art school, that, if I make good enough art, they're going to come to me. And unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way anymore. I mean, I think everybody realizes that that's not what it is, but a lot of times people behave that way. A lot of times artists behave that way, that the gallerists are just going to sort of magically come to them and sort of know that, oh, well, this person is making some really interesting work. And there's no way to, for galleries or artists galleries or curators or, other arts professionals to even know what you're doing. And there's too many people on Instagram, spending 15 minutes, even a day on Instagram, it's not enough. You have to make those connections. And the best way to make those connections is spending time or interacting with galleries. So what can you do to do that? You can go to the opening if they're in your town. Sometimes these galleries will have virtual openings. They will appreciate you being there. They appreciate the support. If you do that regularly, let's say it's a gallery in your hometown and you can go to every single one of their openings, if they have an opening every month, do that. Dedicate yourself time to doing that and they will come around. You don't even have to introduce yourself. They are going to see you there every time, and eventually you're going to make this really great connection because they are going to appreciate the support that you give. Same with any online event or artist talk or opening that you can go to at any kind of art art institution. And that, that can work for all over the world. Of course, I hope that you're putting this on your database, because how else are you going to keep track of all these things, right? So you got to have all this stuff on your spreadsheet. But not interacting with galleries, curators, and arts professionals is also another common thing. It's just sort of this idea that these people are going to come to you, or you just can post on Instagram and they're going to discover you, quote unquote. You need to, you know, really put in some muscle into this and really, you know, put yourself out there, which I know can be difficult. It's hard, but you don't have to be anything other than yourself to make those connections. Nobody's looking for something that you're not. You can just totally be yourself, and you don't have to be like super gifted at Gab or whatever. Just show up and be there. So the other thing that I recommend is, you know, volunteering at a museum or even a gallery, you know, even a commercial gallery. Get involved with a co-op that might be in your town, a co-op gallery. Get involved with art organizations, institutions. This way that you can really sort of kill two birds with one stone, that you're meeting artists and you're also meeting arts professionals, gallerists, curators, interior designers. There's so many ways. I really want artists to really start focusing on meeting people in person. Maybe go to interior design trade shows. Pick up, you know, interior design and art, fine art, magazines, they're all over the place, right? Any kind of publications that are, you know, timely, that can show you events and things like that. Just become, you know, involved and step outside of the studio every once in a while. Okay, number 9 for the most common mistakes artists make is the expectation of being discovered. So dovetailing on number 8, right, is that there's this prevalent belief still, and it's frustrating to me and makes me sad, is that, well, I hate marketing. They should just come to me. I don't want to do the marketing. I want to stay in my studio and just work. Now, while working and being in your studio is definitely the most important thing, you know, of being an artist, building your portfolio and continuing your practice, there's also this whole other thing called marketing. And marketing might seem yucky, but can be as simple as just getting out and talking to people, like I talked about in number 8, okay, of not going out and doing that enough, not networking enough, like I mentioned before. The idea of being discovered is probably the most common, but yet also the most detrimental to an artist's career, because it's not going to happen. Even on Instagram, you probably have a better chance of being hit by lightning. What gives you a better chance of getting in a gallery or hooking up with a curator or connecting with, you know, an art dealer or an art consultant, interior designers, et cetera, is getting out into the world and you know, meeting you. You make that discovery happen, okay? Because that's how they do happen. They don't happen on Instagram anymore. They don't happen because your cousin Joe knows a gallerist and they're going to somehow see how great you are. It's not going to happen by sending one email, okay? And then that's it. You need to really, you know, not pound the pavement, and it's not miserable. You just have to connect with people. That's all you need to do. But people don't even know you exist. There's no way. So, you know, the first thing to do is think about, like, why do I not want to, you know, go out there and meet people? Why am I waiting for someone to discover me? And do some soul searching and thinking about why that is, and get rid of that notion, because it's definitely a very common but the most detrimental to an art career is the idea that you're going to be discovered, because it just doesn't happen anymore. Okay, number 10 is also dovetailing on number 9. And this is the idea that I want to spend all my time in the studio. I don't want to do any of this yucky marketing. So this kind of requires, you know, we all know that marketing is important, and maybe marketing isn't the right word. Maybe we should just say putting ourselves out there in the world as artists, right? Getting my work out in front of the world, okay? Maybe that seems less schmoozy and salesy or however, right? But I understand that artists want to spend all their time in the studio, and they just want, you know, they don't want to be doing any of this marketing stuff. But my whole trip on this is basically, if you learn a few basic things and you go out and meet people and you do the basic stuff online, you're going to be fine. It's not going to take all your time away from the studio. And that's where the scheduling can come in. That's where the spreadsheet creation can come in. And all of these things basically require a day or two to, like, build your spreadsheet, learn how that works, you know, of really dedicating your time and scheduling yourself for that. Otherwise, it's sort of like having this gigantic laundry list in front of you, and that's where the overwhelm comes in. So the scheduling, the deciding where you're going to spend your time, the accountability, all that kind of stuff sort of adds up into this sort of nice soup of seeing marketing as not so overwhelming and awful. So one of the things that I found too is that people sometimes are really adverse to doing anything online because they say, oh, I don't know computers. I don't know how to do this. And the thing is that, you know, computers are built to be easy. I understand that at first it's kind of difficult and seems insurmountable. But if you dedicate yourself to it, you know, if you can pay your bills and pay your credit card bills, you can do practically anything you need to do online. It's really that simple. I mean, frankly, I find those credit card websites much more complicated than Canva, for example. I mean, I really do. So once you get the hang of things, it becomes easy, right? Like everything's really hard at first until you dive into it. So my recommendation is just spend that day, 2 days, whatever it's going to take for you to really feel comfortable, not master. You don't have to master it. You don't have to be doing coding. You don't have to be doing any of that kind of stuff. You just have to feel comfortable with it, where it's not this massive chore to like make a spreadsheet in Airtable, for example, or create a post in Instagram in Canva, right? There's lots of ways that once you learn this stuff, there's lots of ways that you can save yourself a ton of time, frustration, et cetera, et cetera. It's just about dedicating yourself to get over that hump. And once you get over that hump, the marketing isn't as awful and isn't as terrible, especially when you start seeing results from what you're doing. And you're going to start seeing results and it's going to keep you going, okay? And then you're going to see the power in doing these very simple things. So what do I recommend that artists have? At bare minimum, a very nice up-to-date website that's simple and clean and easy to navigate for the outsider. And it's in their name, okay? They have all their email and everything in their name as well. They also have business cards. You should have that as a bare minimum. They have a collection of printed material, maybe postcards, maybe a book or things that they can mail out as they need to at whim. You should have sort of a printed arsenal, as I call it, to mail out. You should be on Instagram, but you shouldn't spend all your time on Instagram. You should focus on those in-person events that we talked about a lot. You should focus on art fairs, in-person exhibitions, juried exhibitions, going to openings, etc. However you can get your foot in the door and just meet people. So that's it for today. Those are the top 10 mistakes. You can reach me at jentuff.com. There's a link to my email on there. There's also a link to sign up for the Artist Alliance. Right now it is $36 a month, and we're going to be having shows on Artsy every month, which are juried by me, which is fantastic. 3 million unique views a month. You definitely want to be on Artsy, which is reserved for galleries only. So it's really difficult to get in there as a single artist. So why don't you join us? $36 a month. You can do that at jentuff.com. Thank you so much for listening. I am so grateful for the few people out there in the world who are listening to me and putting up with my nasally Ohio voice. And I hope you have a great week. Thanks for listening.